This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
405 of the big city and the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Great article on ESPN.com from Buster Olney talking in depth about the Yankees and their issues, and he's nice enough to join us here on the K. Show. We're K-less today, Buster. It's just Don and Peter. Hopefully that's okay with you.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's incredible how good the show's been today. I've been listening. I live here in the New York area, and it's been tremendous.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. You know, whatever you guys have been doing today, I just keep that going.
Well, we just spent about 15 minutes on the movie Independence Day. Are you a fan, Buster?
Yes, I actually am. I enjoyed that, sitting with both my kids and them scared to death. So,
yeah, see. And that's two people now, Buster and PJ Carlissimo, who agree that the show's better without Michael. I mean, management's not going to agree, but we'll file this away. It makes me feel good, at least. Great article that I read today, just, you know, breaking down the issues, you know, with the Yankees, the analytic part of it. The way I look at it, Buster, analytics exist, okay, and everybody uses them. But my wife's a Giant fan, so I watch a lot of Giant games. You know I'm a Met fan. I watch a lot of Met. I see them stray. I see them do different things. I look at a Yankee team that has taken analytics almost to like a Jim Jones level. Am I wrong about it? Do they look at it and use it deeper and more so than any other franchise in baseball?
No. And it was funny. I just in talking a few minutes ago, I talked with the GM of another team, and he finds the conversation about the Yankees and analytics to be amusing. Like, he thinks it's gone too far, like the criticism of it, because all teams use this information. He does agree with what I wrote in the article that, you know, to build a lineup that's right-handed, that's a step too far. And I think it's where the Yankees, you know, for this year's team, has certainly worked against them. You know, the one year I covered the NFL, the Giants, they had something called the quality control coach, which the person who would look from the outside in at the organization and say, this is a problem. And I don't think there's any question that this has been an issue for the Yankees, because while they might have internal numbers that indicate the new Yankee Stadium is as favorable for left-handed hitters as right-handed batters, and that it's better actually for right-handed batters, I have conversations with opposing managers who are telling me, yeah, I love it that the Yankees lineup is so right-handed.
Yeah.
And they're the ones making choices, and I think that's where they've gone too far. I would say this, and this general manager mentioned to me, when you look at the Yankees lineup, I mean, from 2017 to 2020, they lead the majors in runs scored, so you could have reasonably gone into this year thinking your offense was going to be a lot better, and at the heart of what's gone wrong is the lack of, is a case of so many players underperforming based on their history.
Buster, what do you see happening with this team? I mean, Don and I have spent a lot of time talking today about how eventually when teams aren't performing well over a sustained period of time, usually it ends up costing the GM or the manager their job, unfortunately. How do you see things playing out with this Yankee team?
Yeah, so let's just, imagine that they don't make the playoffs. You know, at the end of the year, it's a disappointing year. And the question I get asked most frequently is, what happens with Aaron Boone? That's not the relevant question. The pertinent question is, what happens with Brian Cashman vis-a-vis Hal Steinbrenner? And how will, you know, what's down the pike? Brian's got another year left. He's making, what, $5, $6 million for 2022. And, he's been in that job for a long time. So while I think fans will focus on what hasn't happened this year with this team, Hal Steinbrenner is going to take a broader view of it. And he's going to, you know, think back to the fact that they have not had a losing season since 1992. He's going to think, generally speaking, that Brian is someone like George did with Gene Michael, that he trusts his decision-making and the motivation behind it. Now, I just knowing how, to some degree in terms of how he does his work, there's an easy default position for him at the end of the year where he can say, Brian's got 1 year left. You know what? We're going to give him that last year of the contract, which means Aaron Boone would come back as manager. We'll give this group one more year, and at that point, I think it's going to be easier for him to turn the page. But I do think that, you know, that that's the first question that gets asked at the end of the year with for Hal. Is he going to continue to believe in Brian Cashman's vision for this team?
Yeah, and I'm going to make a statement, Buster, and you tell me if I'm wrong because you're more in the know than I am. This team has not had a losing season since 1992. They've had seven losing seasons since 1968. That's not by accident, okay? Really, since it collapsed for them in the early 90s, they've done nothing but have winning seasons and relevant seasons. You've got your own network. You've got a building that's got one of the highest capacities in baseball with the highest ticket prices. They're not equipped to blow it up. And is it just the case if I replace Brian, I'm just going to have to replace him with a guy that does what Brian does? Are they a team that just is not in a position to let Brian go and bring in somebody that's going to say the best thing we can do, Hal, is blow this up and start over? They just can't do that.
No. And on top of that, here's the reality of it. And that general manager I was speaking to, he just burst out laughing when I mentioned to him, you know, here's the thing. If Hal Steinbrenner were to let Brian go, guys, he would be hired within 0.2 seconds. That would be like the equivalent in terms of how Brian is viewed within the industry. It would be the equivalent of the Giants moving on from Bill Parcells. Now, there are Yankee fans who may not agree with that, but I'm telling you how he's viewed within the industry as being someone really great. And so what Brian would, you know, probably would do if the Yankees were to turn the page on him is, you know, his son is going to be a senior next year in high school. He can watch him play ball, maybe do some TV, ride out the last year of his contract, and then he would have multiple opportunities to go someplace else. Hal's going to know that, and it is going to be difficult, you know, to identify another general manager. I mean, we just saw the Mets, you know, go through this process of trying to hire a general manager, and it kind of became a mess. You know, that, and, you know, to your point about changing in midstream, you know, Joel Sherman, I give him credit, he was the first to write this. The one bold move that could be made before the deadline this year would be to trade Aaron Judge, and there is a lot of comparisons I think you can make between this with Aaron Judge in this moment and with what they had with Aroldis Chapman and Andrew Miller back in 2016. And you know what? You know, given their difficulty of the schedule, facing the Mariners, then facing the Astros, then the Red Sox, 8 out of 10 right out of the break, by the morning of July 26th, they may have declared themselves as a non-contender. And at that point, if you flip Aaron Judge into the marketplace, because of, you know, how good of a player he is, I do think you would get really good return, and you could be in the process of sort of shifting the team on the fly.
And here's another scary thing, Buster, that's not their fault. Baseball kind of screwed them too, right? Cole looks like he's affected by the spider tech. Certainly yep. Chapman is a different pitcher. I mean, they just invested a 9-year contract in Cole. You know, and also they built to hit home runs, and then the baseball changes, and they're not hitting home runs as much anymore. I mean, you talk about what would George do. I think George would probably have a lot to say about Major League Baseball putting him in a very difficult situation. I think Cole is a really good pitcher, but if this is what Cole is going to be, that's not what they signed up for 9 years and seven more after this.
It is incredibly scary for them. Look, you know, 30 teams right now are going through this where – you know, the guys they have on their team, they're seeing pitchers go from Superman to Clark Kent. But the difference for the Yankees is that, you know, they theoretically had one of the three best pitchers in baseball locked up for, you know, the future in Gerrit Cole. And they don't know if he's suddenly gone from, you know, Superman to Clark Kent. Aroldis Chapman, before all this, he was the best closer in baseball. You know, one run allowed his first 23 innings this year. And then this month with the crackdown, he's allowed 14 runs in 5 2/3 innings. He's a completely different pitcher. And while, you know, Aaron Boone is going to say the right things and Brian Cashman's going to say the right things, they have no idea what they have now in Gerrit Cole or Aroldis Chapman. That's just a fact.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, well, that's really scary. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, Buster, there is a team here that's not underachieving. given the circumstance there, and that is the New York Mets. Luis Rojas, manager of the year, remote possibility?
I think he would be in that conversation, Peter, but, I mean, let's face it, it's almost like the baseball writers. You could develop a formula for picking the manager of the year. It's always the team that comes the furthest, especially if they're a small market team, and exceeds expectations. You know, the Mets spent a lot of money in the wintertime. I actually think Luis Rojas is an excellent manager, but because of the high expectations, I don't think he would win. I think Gabe Kapler would win if the voting were today, the manager of the Giants, because the Giants are the biggest surprise in the National League, and the Red Sox are the biggest surprise in the American League.
Now, the scary thing, and the Mets are taking advantage of this, all right? So I'm not trying to take anything away from them. They're in a division where everybody else is under 500, in a league where there's just six teams above 500, and three of them are in the National League West. I mean, it's ridiculous, but they are taking advantage of it. And I think this is their division to lose because of how poorly everybody else is playing. What will Zach Scott do here to improve? They finally got an owner that can expand the payroll. How aggressive will they be at the deadline, and what are some of the things they can do?
They are going to be very aggressive, and they will add. And here's the great thing, and you actually just laid out the context for why the trade market absolutely could work for the Mets in a big way this year. Because of the way, if you look at the races in the National League, the three teams in the West have basically locked up playoff spots. That means if you're a team in the Central or the East, the wild card's not accessible to you.
Right.
Like the closest team, I think, in the wild card race, the Reds at 6.5 back. And what that means is that you are going to see a tremendous buyer's market at the end of this month. This is what I was calling GMs about today. When you look at the way that the playoff structures are developing in the American League and the National League, you might have in the next 2 weeks a ton of teams dumping players out there. The Mets' focus right now is on adding a starting pitcher. I'm assuming they're in the conversation for, you know, all-star Kyle Gibson, you know, other starting pitchers who might eventually go out there. And I think that's if the safe bet is they're going to add that guy. But on top of that, the market, I think, is going to come back to the Mets because there are not a lot of teams out there looking for a third baseman. So you might have at the end of this month the Cubs, frustrated, you know, perhaps in getting what they want for a Chris Bryant, they might be calling the Mets on the 27th or 28th of July and saying, look, there's just not a lot of buyers out there. What do you give us for Chris Bryant? There are going to be a ton of position players out there for contenders like the Mets to get, which is why I think when, you know, the day after the trade deadline this year, that's July 31st, you're going to look at the Mets roster having been seriously upgraded because of how the market's going to play out for them.
And even though I do think they're a flawed team, Buster, getting into the postseason with DeGrom, with Stroman, with the way Walker's pitch, and if you can add a Syndergaard or Carrasco in time for the postseason, that's a good enough rotation to make a run, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you start with DeGrom, yeah, absolutely, and Stroman for sure. And the other day when we talked to Luis Rojas, he spoke very positively about where they are with Carrasco, to the point that, you know, they might add Carrasco when he has built up to just three or four innings because they think he can help. I think there's a lot more uncertainty about Syndergaard. You know, but let's say, for argument's sake, that the Nationals, who as of this morning have a playoff chance, I think, of only 5.3%, let's say by the end of the month they're like, you know what, we're not good enough. We're going to put Max Scherzer out there. I think Mike Rizzo is the type of general manager who wouldn't care if he traded Max in the same division as long as he just got the best possible package back. So let's say that they're in that conversation, or let's say that the Cardinals, you know, go to Adam Wainwright and say, hey, we're out of the race. What would you like to do? And Wainwright says, I'd love to finish with a contender. He's in there. You know, maybe the Cubs do Kyle Hendricks. I do think because of all the sellers that are going to be out there, that there are going to be just a lot of opportunities develop here in the next 2.5 weeks for the Mets.
Well, I'm looking forward to it all. Buster, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk with you. Nice job of the show.
Thank you so much. That's Buster Olney. So a lot of good things, and that could be just a fun trading deadline where the Mets can actually be aggressive for once, Peter, and there isn't anybody that couldn't be on the table because they could expand the payroll. It's just, That's another thing, too, when we talk about the Yankees, the refusal to go over the luxury tax. It just it makes you lead to believe that, hey, yeah, this is not the season that they wanted, but as long as they stay relevant, continue to have winning seasons, that maybe that's the mission statement more than it is the championships. But put on top of everything that's happening with the Yankees, all of a sudden a Met team that could be on their way to the playoffs, aggressive at the trading deadline, getting better. This could be, you know, this could be the late 80s all over again. And that's scary for the Yankees.
I mean, even though in retrospect, the late 80s weren't nearly as bad as I thought, for Yankees fans, nightmare.
They won more games than any other team in the 80s, but the thing is, it was just always coming up short. You know, they went to the World Series in 81. They were beaten in the first round of the playoffs in 80, but, you know, they were consistently good, kind of like this team, but not winning championships. And then meanwhile, the Mets won in 86 and were in the playoffs, you know, quite a bit. And boy, that could be revisiting that time again. Speaking of which, tonight's New York Mets starting lineup is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So let's do it. Leading off and playing second base will be Jeff McNeil. Our Francisco Lindor will be batting second and playing shortstop. Dom Smith is in left field batting third. Pete Alonso batting cleanup playing first. Michael Conforto had a big hit last night. Will be in right field batting fifth. Batting sixth, Kevin Pillar in center field. Jose Peraza will be at third base batting seventh. Tomas Nito is behind the plate and batting eighth. And Jacob deGrom is your starting pitcher and batting ninth. That's tonight's Mets starting lineup brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. All right, let's put his feet to the fire, Peter, with Andrew's This Day in Yankee History. And let's take a look at This Day in Yankee History brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. 1941, the Yankees unveil a center field monument dedicated to Lou Gehrig. The memorial, similar to the honor bestowed on the team's late skipper Miller Huggins in 1932, is a tribute by his teammates to their beloved captain, who died last month of ALS. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. I think that's a good one.
I mean, it's not upbeat.
No. But it's kind of the theme.
It's
of,
not fun. I should say.
No, it's not. It's not fun, but doesn't mean it's not right.
That's
what
true.
Else did you have to choose from, Andrew? Anything else?
Go ahead.
Or was that it? I do not have a list in front of me to critique it. So.
No. There was also in 2002, Reggie Jackson received his plaque in Monument Park. 2008 was an interesting one, but it's more of a Red Sox moment. It was a Yankees Red Sox game, and it was when Manny Ramirez had pretty much had it with playing for Boston, and he asked out of the lineup because of a fake knee injury, and then was brought in as a pinch hitter against Mariano Rivera, and just took three straight strikes without swinging
the
bat.
That's a joke, as far as I'm concerned.
Kind of a Red Sox moment, though. So I felt that the Gehrig one was the way to go.
You know what? I dig that. I think you did a terrific job.
Thank you.
You talked us through it. It was nice.
All right, I want to hear from you. A lot of phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Very special, ENN. The ENN, when it's just me and Peter, is special at 6 o'clock. And I want Andrew to chime in because I think it's a good three-person vehicle. And I'd be up for Andrew doing it, and then you analyze it like you're Michael Kay.
It's not fair.
But
I would do that. I don't know if Andrew has
just
time.
Just take the L.
I would enjoy it.
Andrew's got a lot of good things going on. I don't want to put too much on his plate.
God hates me.
But I think I would enjoy Andrew doing it and us analyzing it, but it's a little too late.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Horse is out of the barn at this point, as they like to say.
Milk's out of the udder.
Sure. But maybe we can revisit that for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But we got that coming up at 6 o'clock. And then it's my guy, Dan Grosso. We just learned through a tweet from Dan that he's flying solo.
It was horrifying.
So the thumb must be in bad shape.
Wow.
Dear God.
I can't do a show with an injured thumb, right?
Well, I don't like what you're implying.
Listen, he's got a lot on his plate, Willie. I mean, it's nice enough that he even offered.
Oh, Andrew, how did Italy score this goal? I totally missed that.
Counterattack, nice shot into the corner.
How much time we got here? 30 minutes?
We got about, with stoppage time, probably about another 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I could confidently say that's the Euros.
That's right. It's Italy. It's the semis. It's Italy up on Spain, 1-0.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Although I was told on Twitter earlier, two Brazilian-born players started today's game. How do you like that, Andrew?
You'll ruin everything.
Well,
is that what you had in mind when you asked the question?
No. Okay. No, it's not.
I think that's aged well for you, that drop.
No,
now,
I agree.
It had a long way to go, and it still paints you in an awful light. But yeah. I think over the last month or so, it has aged a little bit in your favor.
Well, it couldn't have made me look dumber.
Well, I'm saying it couldn't have gone the other way. From the ground floor with it. And listen, that's not going away. That is going to make a run.
That's cool, man.
That's coming out of your brag.
You think it's coming out?
I think it's going to come out of your bracket.
You think that's the Andrew? What kind of seed do you think I'm looking at with
that's
that?
That's a one.
Very high seed.
That's a one. All right. I don't know. I can't see into the future. I don't have a
crystal
ball.
Come on, dog.
I know what stupid thing you're going to say between now and next March.
I don't talk to people who care about Don Larson.
That's going to be up there too. But that's your one.
Anything else over there, Anthony? That's in the conversation?
Nothing.
Come on.
Tell me about the Texas winner.
No.
Nothing. Don't embarrass yourself, Anthony.
Nothing there.
No, not. Listen, your best argument is that we've got a long way to go before we get to March. That's
Mom! Well, what the hell?
Play them all. Play. You can go back into the past. Play old ones from years ago.
Hold on. I just lost Bear behind the couch. Can you hold on for a second?
Not even close. Not even close.
Mom, Michael wants you to make an appearance on the show.
Merciless booing.
Oh, embarrassing, Peter. All right? I won't have it.
I'm Hack Rosenberg.
But that's your number one.
That's not even a drop. It's an extended sentence. It's like
the only argument that you really
honestly,
you do not want it to be your number one.
It should be Andrew's drop.
That's the only argument that you that's what you have to attach yourself to. Like
but
a barnacle.
I already said but hold on, but Don, first of all, I already said that from the beginning.
I know.
And I wasn't even saying it to protect me. I was saying it to give Andrew the credit he deserves. It's his straight voice that makes it what it is.
Whatever your reasoning is. That has to be what you move on with because you're not going to find a drop better than that.
Andrew's obviously not impartial on this because, I mean, I'm sure he is, but he's involved. Is there an argument for that to be an Andrew drop?
Definitely an argument. Right now, I consider it more of a Peter.
But
now,
because the motivation, Andrew, is not to make you look good. The motivation was to make Peter look bad. That's why people are biased that it's a Peter
drop. So in the Washington game, you think that Young is going to chase.
You got to stop. There isn't a better one. It just whether it goes in the nether regions or whether it goes to you. That's your best argument. Otherwise, you're just going to have to live with that being your one seed. And don't try to create a better drop. It never works when you try.
I believe it's an Andrew drop.
All right, we'll talk about that. We've got plenty of
time.
There. It's not until March. The world could be completely upside down by then.
Might not even exist by then.
Worried about it. 1-800-919-3776. It's Don and Peter on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.